Let's freaking go. LSU fans, we are all here to talk about Clemson, and I want to share something that I found to be very interesting. Clemson is still a 2.5-point favorite over LSU. The experts out west strongly believe, and I say strongly, it's only a couple of points, that Clemson will be victorious. They are at home. So honestly, if you believe in the 3.5-point favorite thing, that of course home field advantage counts for 3, sometimes 3.5 points, then that is basically saying that the experts think LSU is actually a slightly better team, but Clemson playing at home will be a big difference. Okay. So type Y for yes, type in for no if you can hear me loud and clear, because we're also going to talk what happened earlier today. South Carolina getting their ass kicked by UConn in the national championship. What does that mean for Kim Mulkey? Well, it honestly, long story short, doesn't mean a whole lot. Shout out to LSU baseball. Another sweep. Are you freaking kidding me? Sweeping 3 out of their 4 SEC series up to this point. I understand that game yesterday in the 9th inning got a little weird. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. I'll be honest. I do think at this point, I would pick Clemson to beat LSU on the season opener. And I understand I should be holding off my opinion until the game. There's still a gazillion things that can happen. We still got a spring portal cycle, injuries, all of that. But I saw some bits and pieces of the Clemson spring game. Not a whole lot. I didn't attend. They don't really air these things anymore. But what I would tell you is they have 2 strong position groups. They are really strong at wide receiver, and they are really strong across their defensive line. The defensive line thing shouldn't be a shock to anyone. Clemson has always had a strong defensive line. But where are the 2 big question marks on LSU's team? Well, one could say it is the LSU secondary, even though we do feel better with what we've heard about DJ Pickett up to this point in the offseason. And the strength of Clemson's team, the defensive line, I think a lot of you in your heart of hearts feels uncomfortable about the LSU offensive line at this juncture. So I don't think you should be in panic mode. I obviously feel this is close. I do think Clemson is the deserved small favorite, but I went through and actually looked at the point spreads for all the games, and I share this because Brad Powers, my favorite college football betting analyst, tweeted out all the point spreads for week 1, and I'll let you take a look at it yourself. LSU-Clemson is not the premier game that everyone will be looking at in week 1. That, of course, would be Ohio State versus Texas. They're 3.5-point favorites. Clemson right now, a 2.5-point favorite over LSU. Alabama, 11.5 at Florida State. Notre Dame, 2.5 at Miami. Tennessee, 14.5 at a neutral in Atlanta. Same thing for South Carolina, 9.5 favorites over Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech, 3.5-point favorites at Colorado. Auburn, 0.5 favorite over Baylor. And North Carolina, 2.5 versus TCU. All right. I do think, though, that LSU, I would say if I had to absolutely positively pick one side, I would pick LSU, or I would pick Clemson to beat LSU. But I do think we'll be better equipped for the season opener. I have no idea why my nose decided to start running right here at the beginning, but I guarantee you we're still going to power through. Now, I'll be honest as well. I still think going into week 1, there's going to be such a strong push for the Cade Klubnik hype cycle. I do feel strongly about some college football early over-unders. We can discuss that as well tonight. I also feel strongly about the overall state of LSU athletics. LSU gymnastics had a big weekend. Paul Skeens, I mean, all of it has just been mostly good. All right. Now, next thing as far as the spring is concerned. So there was a very viral back and forth that I have with Mr. Blake Ruffino last Monday. And there was also interview we did with John Eads of the local news, and John was definitely more positive about what he has seen at LSU this spring. And I want to share a few different thoughts on that. Now, one thing that kind of gained some steam that was a little weird for me, because I just kind of put myself out there, I did apply for an LSU football analyst position. That is still my dream job, to work for Brian Kelly or just work for LSU football in some facet. And I highly recommend, before we go into this next point, to go join our Patreon. We're giving out a Ja'Marr Chase jersey here in just a few weeks. Autographed Ja'Marr Chase jersey. That is a $250 jersey that we're giving out, all for a $9.99 a month subscription. And guess what? You get access to the Discord. You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. And, of course, you get to see what I've been working on. I've gotten access to $20,000 analytical software that college football teams use weekly, okay? And I did a breakdown with some of the advanced analytics that the software spat out in my direction on the LSU defense. We're going to do one on the LSU offense this next week, so that's why you got to sign up and get that exclusive access. And what kept spitting back out to me was the importance of the LSU run defense, cleaning things up. You know, we focus so much on the LSU pass defense. Statistically, though, the unit was better. But the LSU rush defense honestly wasn't that much better than what the rush defense was the year before. Now, it was better. It was more dominant versus weaker teams, but you guys saw what happened for the most part last year, the LSU rush defense, okay? But look, I strongly do believe that one guy that's going to change so much for what LSU is going to do next season is Jack Pyburn. This is a guy that I keep hearing about, all right? I'll give you the three names that have honestly blown up my phone and just chatter, not only for me, but just other media sources and people that do go to practice each and every week, all right? Jack Pyburn is definitely number one. Him and Mansoor Delane have been neck and neck. But, you know, I just keep hearing about Jack Pyburn, him challenging guys in practice to be better, him setting a standard that is desperately needed with Braden Swinson out the door. Another name that's been very, very interesting to me is DJ Chester. I think him taking a majority of the first team reps at center is something. I do believe Braylon Moore will eventually win that job, but it is something of note. Josh Thompson getting a lot of reps at right tackle. It's something of note that this offensive line is going to be a little bit more musical cheery before we actually get to game one. Where over the past couple of seasons during the Will Campbell era, it's been pretty solidified who we thought would be the starters. All right. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Okay. And Spectrum, yes, Mike Jones did get hired as the LSU analyst. I would have given it to him over me as well. Who got it? Okay. That's a joke that's been made plenty of times. Okay. Let's go to LA Mom and let's go to Brian Turner. First super chat of the evening. Clemson resembles 2023 Florida State. Veteran offensive line, NFL defensive line, deep at wide receiver, Heisman hopeful at quarterback, and super intense offseason prep. He's right. They're good. They're really, really, really good. And here's the thing. I don't think this team is as good as Florida State. And this is something that you can go back and listen to. My overall read on these season openers, even though I picked LSU to win all of them, I felt USC wasn't as good of a team as either of the Florida State teams. That turned out to be true. Clemson is a better team than USC, and you've got to go beat them in their building. Clemson's going to be very good. And you do get a little unlucky. This is the danger, or should I say the lottery that you play when you schedule difficult season openers. So let's take Tennessee. Tennessee scheduled Virginia. Virginia's not a great program, but Virginia 2 years ago when they played that season opener was one of the worst programs in even Virginia's history. And then this next season, Tennessee scheduled NC State. NC State this past season, very, very, very up and down. They made a bowl game, but they weren't really that good. They weren't as good as a lot of people thought they were going to be. So sometimes these season openers come down to when you schedule a program, how good is that program that season? All right. And you got to schedule these games, obviously, so far in advance. Clemson, this is the best Dabo Swinney team that he will have since 2019. I really do believe it. And that's not saying a whole lot, but it is saying something. Because obviously Clemson hasn't been at the same level it was in the Taj Boyd, Trevor Lawrence, and Deshaun Watson era. There was a little bit of a dip, but they weren't terrible. This is their best team. Multiple-year starter, a quarterback who has a lot of snaps. Young wide receiver room, Westco and that crew is really good. Like Brian says, a veteran offensive line. They are good in the trenches on the defensive side of the football, which is what we expect out of a Clemson team. And I'm looking at each and every one of you right now. The single most important thing about Clemson is they made the playoff last season. So one thing that we have oftentimes shared, and it is backed up by all this software I've been looking at over the past couple of days, True Media, shout them out. Past success does predicate future success more often than not. Basically, even in the transfer portal era, yes, you can have an Indiana step forward and have just one absolutely positively magical season. But normally, what you did last year is a lead into what you're going to do the next season. Might not mean as much in the transfer portal era because you can completely purge a roster and make it better in a year's time. But you do normally see crumbles of excellence. Okay? I think Pyburn, Perk, and Weeks will make nuclear fusion on the defense. Huh? Let's go to Bullfrog. Where do I see this defense being ranked next season? Where do I see them being ranked? I do think Blake Baker needs to have this unit as a top five defense in the SEC. You guys know I've been a big Blake Baker fan. Disagree with some of the things that he does, but overall he is a very young and talented defensive coordinator. I have sung his praises. I said the day Matt House got fired, you guys know all that story, whatever. If you are getting paid as an elite, elite, elite defensive coordinator, and he is getting a historic amount of money, you have got to have a top five SEC defense next season. And that's a tall order. That is a very, very, very tall order to accomplish because, well, we know Texas's defense with Colin Simmons back, they're going to be really, really, really good. You know South Carolina's defense with Dylan Stewart back, even though they do lose their best defensive back, they are going to be good. With that pass rush, it's going to be hard for them to not be good. But there are quite a few teams losing big-time players. Now, of course, they hit the portal really hard to fill some of the holes that they lost. But Ole Miss had a historically great defense, especially for their standards, by far their best defense that they have ever had. Our defense should be better than theirs next year. Alabama's defense, we know that they have been the standard in the SEC for God knows how long. Jihad Campbell, gone. We have got to be ready to catapult ourselves to being a top five SEC defense. I do think our defense will be better than what it was last year to this year. I do think so. Now, I will also share that Sadir Mitchell, if he can be a gap plugger, it'll make life a lot easier for our defensive line. And not only for the rest of the defensive line, but our linebackers, who once again, some of us in the chat believe will make nuclear fusion. What? Nuclear fusion? Do I look like Oppenheimer? I like it, though. Okay. Thunder Road, before we get to Sibley's Super Chat, who gave Carter their password to this 20K? I can't say. I am not. I have my own account. So I'm loving it. I'm a sports nerd. I'm loving looking into this. And once again, I shared a bunch of the data on Patreon. Ask anyone that has seen the Patreon study. I spent a lot of time on it. And I'll give you a little cliff note. All right. Our defense, when it comes to defending the run, was as good as it gets at defending second down runs for whatever reason. But all the other downs, we were not great at defending the run last year. Now, we did have some good run defense games, but still. Okay. Let's go to Sibley. Had a great phone conversation with Sibley. I was at the Clemson playoff game last year. They were all shadow of the old teams to Clemson at the portal. Did they stumble into the playoffs? Now, let's start with the second. Did they stumble into the playoffs? Yes. It took a miraculous SMU victory, and miraculous was more so the SMU side of it, but they still hit a super long field goal to sneak into the playoffs. They lost to Louisville last season at home in an ugly game versus Tyler Shuck. I watched that game. But they are good. I mean, they're a good mix of experienced players and young guys on the ascent. And the key to having a special college football team is that you really, really, really do need experienced players from the team prior to step up and hit another gear for you to have the success that you are expecting to have. All right. So what I mean by that is actually pretty simple. You know, I keep going back to this team, but, you know, our model for this year's team is very similar to what Ole Miss did last year. We went and got the best portal players we possibly could get. And, you know, Ole Miss to me was the best team in the SEC. I've said it plenty of times over. You know, for Ole Miss to really hit their stride, though, they really needed Trey Harris to take that next step. They really needed Jackson Dart to take that next step, and both of them did. They really, really, really did. And obviously all those transfers helped out. But Jared Ivey took another step. That was a returnee. J.J. Pegue was a returnee, even though he was initially a transfer, but he was a returnee from the year prior. You need guys that are returning to your team to hit another level. And to me, I do think Kate Klubnik's really good. And he's one of those guys that will be returning as a multiple-year starter. And on top of that, one thing that's very interesting about Clemson is you look at Ohio State. Ohio State's team last year had a super transfer in Caleb Downs. That was their best player on defense. And they had a super true freshman in Jeremiah Smith. That was their best player on offense. And they had a super transfer quarterback in Will Howard. And those three were huge pieces for their national championship run. But what really put them over the top was that they had a lot of elite year three guys come back and play that year four. So when you look at that from an Ohio State perspective, that's obviously JTT on their defensive line. That's Jack Sawyer. That's a few of their offensive linemen that will get drafted in this next cycle. That's Emeka Ebuka who took another step as a player. You really need that. You really, really, really do. So let's take that to an LSU side of things. How many guys do we know that are multiple-year starter producers and will be coming back for a year three or a year four that you would consider to be a very, very, very good player? Well, for LSU, there's a few, right? I would think Aaron Anderson would fit that mold. He was a very, very, very good producer last year, and he will be coming back. And I think if Aaron Anderson was draft available, he would either get drafted in the sixth or seventh round and probably make a roster as a UDFA. And then you take a look at Garrett Nussmeier. I think a lot of us would consider Garrett Nussmeier a multiple-year starter and a guy that will be, you know, coming back for an extra year, and he very well would have been drafted. And then you go to the defensive side of the football. He's not draft eligible, but Whit Weeks is definitely in that mix. Clemson has a lot of those guys too. So, I mean, you really, really, really need to have experienced older guys. You look at last year, and I do think this is something, okay? You look, and I was watching this last night, Duke versus Houston. I think a big reason why Houston won that game is that they're old. Duke has a bunch of young guys, and they crumbled. They're playing too many minutes. They got tired. And Houston, which, you know, has the most intense practices, they dug a little bit deeper. And you guys know I'm not a big, they wanted it more kind of analyst at all, but their experience really showed. They were the older team. Age matters. Auburn and Florida, they're super old teams. UConn today. Yeah, they had some good freshmen, Sarah Strong, but their two best players, Paige Beckers and Azzy Fudd, they're old. They're older players. So age matters. It really, really, really does in college. It's impossible, near impossible in college, to wash out when it comes to just being too old. In fact, it's the opposite. The older you are, the more you're into the prime of your career. Let's see. Sibley wants to talk some Lady Tiger basketball. You know I'm down to do that. Let's see. Let's go to Jordan. If we win at Clemson week one, I will be surprised but not shocked. There we go. D-Pain says, I think LSU loses to Clemson also, unfortunately. Let's go here. Did I see the video explaining why Samaya and Poe are leaving together? Supposedly they broke team rules together. I have no idea. I actually have not seen the video. But you guys feel free to send it my way. So we'll talk a little bit of women's basketball. We are a big women's basketball channel. Now, not during football season, of course, but when football ends, there's plenty of channels that break down LSU baseball a lot better than me. We'll talk some LSU baseball a little bit later, but you guys know women's basketball is my second favorite thing to talk about on here. Even if the men's team, the LSU men's team would be elite, I have a soft spot for women's basketball because, you know, I was at LSU during the Sylvia Fowles era, and congrats to Sylvia for making the Hall of Fame. I think a few things happened today. All right. The first is I do think if you're big into who is the GOAT all-time legacy type of chatter, you are very happy that Dawn Staley lost because, you know, Kim has four natties. Dawn stays at three. Obviously, head-to-head, it's kind of a Nadal-Federer situation where Kim might be better than Dawn, but Dawn has the head-to-head matchup. We've not beaten Dawn Staley yet at South Carolina. I didn't understand why. I mean, there seemed to be a little bit of an overreaction to, you know, South Carolina getting blown out for the second time. No, they've won the Natty two out of the last four seasons. I mean, this is their fourth consecutive Final Four. And three out of the last four, they have played in the national championship game. And it took Caitlin Clark, and I was at that game, to have one of the best women's basketball performances of all time. You know, this is what made me, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. This UConn team just had so many ACL injuries. So many. The team that could have beaten UConn, because they have, you know, the best player, Juju Watkins, she is out with an ACL injury. And I am lucky to know people in the sports medicine industry. There's plenty of studies that have been done on this. The Athletic did a very good video on this. ACL injuries happen more common in women than they do in men. Samaya Smith would tell you the same thing. But when it comes to ACLs, while Samaya was a very serious injury, we have not had one of those, thankfully. So what I would say is I would be very mindful of my overall player health. And moving forward, I really do think USC just played Juju just too many minutes. I would be very cautious of over-minuting any of my superstars next year. So really look into the minutes for Michaela, the minutes for Flage, because we're just going to be so reliant on him with Morrow at the door. And I know we got all these great McDonald's All-Americans coming in. But literally the thing that decides it, and I know this is going to sound like a no-duh thing, but you know, you've just got to have your best players healthy to win these things. And I am very fortunate that we won it when we did, because the sport that is the hardest to win a national championship is women's basketball. It is so freaking hard to crack it. It is so hard. I've always thought it was men's football, simply because, you know, you could just stockpile so many players with, you know, volume and all of that. But Geno's not won a natty since 2016. And he finally wins one now. If he had better injury luck, he probably would have won one over the past 5 years with Paige Beckers and Fudd. Fudd's had two of these things. So we are very lucky. We've had mostly good injury luck. And I am glad we won our natty when we did. All right. Also, UConn would have crushed us. Absolutely, positively crushed us. Honestly, think we're a better matchup for UConn than South Carolina. But I do, you and UCLA, who also got their asses kicked. I do think, though, that UConn would have dusted whoever. Okay? Let's see. Let's go to Brian. Gideon Davidson's a five-star phenom. The Dabo will be starting week one of running back. Very Harlan Berry-like. LSU cannot allow a freshman to have a coming out party. Man, yeah, you know, the thing that concerns me is not necessarily their running backs. It's Klubnik. Klubnik can run. And Clemson, fully healthy, I do think they're going to not have Klubnik on a pitch count per se. I don't think they mind him running 10 to 15 times if that's what it takes to win. But you know, I do think with a full offseason, our overall rush rule principles will be better. Now, coming up next, is there a concern at one position for LSU next season that many of us view very positively? That's coming up right after this from...
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. So I am a little worried about LSU's defensive tackle room. And I would like to think one of two players that played a lot as a true freshman could take that next step next season. One, of course, is Dominic McKinley. The other is Ahmad Bro, who won the team's Freshman of the Year award defensively. I'm a little worried about both of them. You know, Ahmad Bro is obviously a guy that came in as a defensive end who has now moved to defensive tackle. You give him Kyle Williams. And look, I think Ahmad Bro, in an absolutely perfect scenario, very well could be the SEC first team, second team, defensive tackle. I am a little bit more worried, though, about Dominic McKinley because he was a five-star recruit. It took a lot of recruiting to get him to flip on New Year's freaking Eve. I'll never forget that. I was pretty pumped up about that. But, you know, Dominic McKinley was a guy that, you know, his high school tape didn't blow you away like your normal five-star high school tape normally does. And as a true freshman, he was fine. You know, he's definitely athletic enough to play. He had that big play versus UCLA, and he slowly started working his way into the lineup. You know, his spring up to this point has been mostly solid. You know, there's been a few reps mixed in there, some in the media viewing of practice and some of the blocking drills that haven't been the cleanest. Man, your team, one thing that's really been a struggle during the Brian Kelly era is guys that do play a lot one season, the next season comes around and they don't take a leap of any kind. They just give you like just reps per se. You know, we're looking for plus reps going into next season. All right. Let's go to Tobo. Tobo holding it down. Fair hope. I refuse to trust Brian Kelly in season openers until proven otherwise. I do not believe the spring game is televised. Pegasus. It might be. I don't know. I was depressed when I figured out I wasn't going. Let's go, Isaiah. I like that attitude. Let's go to Jewel. Welcome back. Almost doesn't count. And season openers, they don't count. They just don't. Yes, April 12th, there is a spring practice. I do highly recommend you go if you can go, because you're going to get to go on the field after the game for autographs.
You should go.
You should go. There will be some scrimmage. So it's not nothing. I will say it is something, because we do live in a copycat world. Ohio State had a scrimmage. Not only did they have a scrimmage, they had it indoors on turf. And not only did they have a scrimmage on turf, they allowed their quarterbacks to be hit. True story. I'm excited. I'm excited about this spring practice, if you will. I am more excited, though, because we had someone in our Discord, Sam, reach out about autograph gear. You're going to get autographs from the players and coaches after the spring game. You're getting access. Like, of course, you don't get the spring allure, but you're going to be getting access that you've never gotten before. At least, yeah, that's my understanding. Okay. From draft circles, it sounds like Garrett Nussmeyer is going to be up there in draft talk next year. It's got a chance. He wants to talk some LSU baseball. We could do that. Congrats on taking care of business. I want to shout out, obviously, you guys know Monster Mom is my favorite player. But I saw something I've never seen before. Chris Stanfield. All right. So he got the player of the game, I think, in week one. But it was game two that I thought was interesting. So there was a flyout. And actually, no, it was game three. And he caught a flyout, and he was wearing a hoodie over his hat. I have never seen this in my life. Never. I love it. Never, ever, ever have I seen that. But LSU baseball, what else is there to say? At least we're not Tennessee, who got beat by Texas A&M. Hell, Catholic High could beat Texas A&M right now. But Tennessee gets beat by A&M this weekend. They run ruled them, and then, of course, it all fell apart. Look, I will say it once, and I will say it again. This LSU baseball team is the best team in the country. Anyone that watched that Texas game too, we were winning, fell apart, and when you lose those kinds of games, you're going to lose game three. And you're playing on that godforsaken turf field, which should be banned. Baseball should never, ever, ever be played on turf. I would rather it be played on mud. I would rather the mother effing sport be played on gosh darn sand. I would rather the game of baseball be played on lava, not freaking turf. Texas, get your freaking act together. But LSU baseball is the best team I've seen. Now, once again, I'm not the college baseball master, okay? One little note, though, that I do find to be interesting. Did anyone see what Kentucky's done? Over the last two weekends, Kentucky has gotten into some verbal altercations with the other team. I did see that. Kentucky likes to run that mouth. What's the coach's name? Nick Mingione? Mingione? Who is Ohio State's offensive coordinator? I don't know. I can tell you, though, their defensive coordinator is Matt freaking Patricia. I mean, let's see, Ohio State. Who is their new offensive coordinator? Oh, it's Brian Hartline. That's right. the wide receivers coach is now the new play caller. Or it'll probably be a co-play caller situation with Ryan Day calling most of the shots. All right. But, man, And for those that don't know, Chip Kelly went to the Raiders. I am excited, though, to see what Matt Patricia is going to do. Because Matt Patricia, he big-timed me. He big-timed me at the Super Bowl. I asked anyone I met at the Super Bowl that I had a good conversation with. I just asked for the phone number. That's it. He was like, you got to get with. I was like, okay. And apparently he's big time getting hired by Ohio State. I wanted to talk ball with him, talk some strategy. Because I do a lot of New England Patriot videos and on the Power Hour NFL channel. He big time. So, to you, Matt, best of luck. Phone line stays open. My phone number is, I can't say that. Sibley's got my phone number, and Sibley represents me. So, you have got to get in contact with John Sibley Butler and then call me. Because I'm going to big time you as well. I didn't recognize it was him at first because he's lost a lot of weight. But I'd seen a few interviews with them prior. It's still kind of shocking because you see a big beard, backward hat, pencil in his ear. And at the Super Bowl, he was dressed like a bowler. Let's go to Bullfrog. If Nuss has time to throw, Clemson's defensive backs will be burnt bad vertically. They ain't catching Hilton or Brown. Just not going to happen. Well, let's have a conversation about that. Clemson's defensive backs over the years have actually been pretty good, and they've been pretty fast. The good news is Barrion Brown, his best game as a collegiate was arguably against Clemson. So he's torched him before. Now I was in a bowl game, and it was a few years ago. But Garrett Nussmeier, his deep passing needs to be better for LSU to have the success it wants to have. If the deep accuracy doesn't get better, then you're not going to win a lot of games. Sibley says this is the best hitting Tiger team in a long time. You know, one thing I really like about LSU baseball is they really do a good job of making at-bats count. You know, they're a gritty, gritty, gritty team at the plate. And Curiel is just a mixture of a lot of different LSU players that you just love. Right? He just feels a little Rafe Rimey, if you will. Like, you just feel he's going to find a way to get on base. And obviously he's got, you know, he's done what he's done up to this point with the on-base streak. But, man, he's just good. Number six. My favorite thing is that he wears the oven mitt as a base runner. But I need to send that in the Sports Center. The Chris Stanfield hoodie over the back of the hat. I freaking love it. You can't beat it. Now, I do need to issue an apology. A small one. Okay? Small. Because I'm not going to get too up in arms about this. I don't know if up in arms is the best way to describe this. But let's give Matt McMahon some credit with what he's done in the portal. Okay, he got the kid from Omaha earlier today. I don't know a thing about any of these players. I'll just be straight up with you. I'm never going to lie to you about my absolute knowledge. I make mistakes all the time, but I'm never going to lie to you about my absolute knowledge of any of them. But according to the powers that be, these transfers are pretty good. Okay. Does that catapult us amongst the SEC elites? I don't know. The sport is just so portal heavy. I will say, though, we're going to be a better team just because you're bringing in just overall better players. Now, I did find it interesting, and this just kind of flashed once again. Don't know this young man's name either. That one of our players transferred to Ole Miss. And I'm like, really? What happened to rivalries? But it is what it is. Two or three, not good as one. Good to see you, Mr. Kenny Chesney fan. And let's go to TJ. Congrats to you, my brother. We should have been better than USC last year. Hopefully we can correctly identify our best talent before our opening kickoff this year. It's a good point. Let's go to Bullfrog. I've yet to see Tyree Adams, DJ Chester, Braylon Moore, Josh Thompson, and Weston Davis play together as a unit, so I'm not judging that offensive line yet. Here's my problem with this comment, is that you don't know if that's going to be your starting group. I will say, if there was one player that you would pencil in at one position to start versus Clemson, it would be Tyree Adams at left tackle. That's who I would pick to for sure be a starter. All right. But, you know, I don't know for certain if Weston Davis is going to start at right tackle. I would lean in that direction. But one of my boldest takes, and it's been a take of mine for a while, but this spring has kind of sort of backed it up. You guys know I'm a big Kerryus Gern guy. I do think at some point he's going to be a factor. All right. I really do think the world of that young man athletically. I think he has a lot of juice. So we'll see. What's up, Tyler? Good to see you. So there you go. We need to do another PHO get together pretty soon. Uh-oh. He snuck in here? It gets crazy. Even during the offseason, it gets crazy in these chats. The master, Lester. Let's see. We have two massive five-star interior offensive linemen. Yeah, I think Kerryus Gern's going to be really good. We say hi to Kathy. Oh, look at that. So I have a little nephew in Thibodeau. And I got sent a photo of my nephew watching the show. Miss Kathy, who is watching my nephew tonight, sent me a photo. So shout out to you, Parker, my little buddy. Love it. Gotta love it. Gotta love the youth. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. I'm getting really excited about the NFL draft. It's coming up here in a few weeks. I want to share a few NFL draft takes. The biggest, and this is going to rattle you for anyone that has watched my channel, especially Power Hour SEC. Now, if you were to just judge this young man based on his games versus LSU, you would think he was a mixture of freaking Vince Young and Patrick Mahomes. But he is not a mixture of Vince Young and Patrick Mahomes. In all his other games, He's kind of a David Green, if you will. Like a good SEC quarterback, but not a great SEC quarterback. And his name is Jalen Milroe. All right, so a lot of you are familiar with Jalen Milroe. And I have grown on Jalen Milroe as an NFL draft prospect. Grown. I couldn't believe it. But I saw what has happened in the NFL. I am definitely open to drafting Jalen Milroe if I were an NFL team, because I know that Jalen Milroe, at his bare minimum, is Taysom Hill. I know he would succeed in a Taysom Hill role. He's too damn athletic to not succeed in a Taysom Hill role. And sometimes we overstate a quarterback switching positions, but Jalen Milroe is that special athletically. Okay? But today it was announced that Jalen Milroe is allegedly getting an invite to the combine. I mean, not the combine, the actual draft. Weird situation. But if Jalen Milroe were to get an NFL draft invite, he better write a check to Brian Kelly. Because we made that dude look like freaking Vince Young mixed with Patrick Mahomes. But to keep it Saints and LSU, it's a weird situation with Will Campbell. Very, very weird situation. Because this NFL draft has an ambiguous quarterback class. And the quarterbacks obviously structure the entire NFL draft. And I do think Cam Ward's going to go to the Titans. But Will Campbell's most likely landing spot in the top five would be to the Patriots at pick number four. The Patriots do need offensive line help. They're not in it for a quarterback. They just traded their backup quarterback away to the Cowboys. Will Campbell likely is going either to the Patriots or he could fall. Jets need an offensive line. There's a lot of teams that need an offensive lineman in that top 10. I do want to warn a lot of you, though, that there are plugged-in NFL draft members. All right, so there's people like me that love to do the mock drafts, read the mock drafts, but we don't know NFL coaches. I know some, but not, I don't know the GMs or anything like that. I've met a few of the NFL GMs, but I don't talk to them like that, okay? But I read Field Yates, and Field Yates had Will Campbell available at pick number 9 to the New Orleans Saints. Okay? Pick number 9 to the Saints. And the Saints passed. Shamar Stewart was the pick over Will Campbell. There was another mock draft that I read from a plugged-in member of the media. I don't think it was Lance Erline. It was somebody else. It was someone plugged in, though. And this was from a week and a half ago. Jihad Campbell of Alabama was the pick ahead of Will Campbell. I just want to warn you that that could happen. And I think a lot of us don't understand the meltdown that would happen if the Saints were to pass on Will Campbell if he were available. Now, they have a justification for passing on Will Campbell. They do need pass rush help. The Cam Jordan era is coming to an end, but you can never have enough pass rushers. And they just drafted an offensive tackle in the first round last year, and Talese Fuaga. All right, so it would make some sense, but man, I don't think people understand how much of a meltdown that would happen if Will Campbell was not the Saints selection if he was available. Okay, I would be pissed off if that were to happen. Because something that's really special about Will Campbell is that he represents North Louisiana. And Louisiana has a very special thing that their big teams dominate the entire state. Now, Shreveport is very heavily a Dallas Cowboys fan area, but it's still Saints dominant there. But it would be nice for that to happen. Now, it's not to say that there's not a lot of Louisiana or LSU flavor on the Saints. There's a lot of that. But it would be nice for them to draft Will Campbell if he's available. I don't think Will Campbell's going to be available, but there is growing belief that he is not the first offensive tackle selected. Now let's go to the other big Saints-ish kind of rumor, and it also involves, obviously, Malik Nabers with the Giants. Where does Shedeur Sanders go? Where is he selected in this NFL draft? The biggest quote over the weekend was Deion Sanders with an interview with Field Yates. Deion was wearing a black and gold Colorado shirt. Deion said, quote, "I like these colors." Wink, wink, nod, nod. There has been extra steam for Shedeur Sanders to the Saints. Now, why do I think Deion really wants Shedeur Sanders to the Saints? Well, the first is playing time. There is playing time available there. You can make a very strong case that even though you've agreed to bring in Derek Carr back here, that is a foreseeable playing time spot to see what you have, especially with the first year head coach and QB coach. There's obviously a Dallas Cowboy connection there with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys. I could see it happening. At first, I was like, okay, I don't think the Saints would go in that direction. They have so many needs. They're an older team. But you tell me, type Y for yes, type N for no. You want the Saints to select Shedeur Sanders if he's available at pick number 9. Type Y for yes, type N for no.
Okay.
73% of you have LSU defeating Clemson. TJ says no. You know, one quarterback that I have grown on, and it's a little bit different because he is left-handed and he's not flashy per se, but the more I sit and watch Dillon Gabriel, the more I talk myself into him. Not at pick number 9, of course. But God, I really like Dillon Gabriel. I really, really, really do. I like Dillon Gabriel more than I like Jaxson Dart. I do. And Jaxson Dart has gotten so much love from the draft community. And I don't see it. I know LA Mom is in here somewhere. I know she She likes Jackson Dart a lot. I know there are some people in my Discord that think Jackson Dart is like the real deal. And I'm not just saying that because I hate Ole Miss, but it's just there's actual NFL teams that are thinking Jackson Dart is a big time NFL draft quarterback. But, you know, I'm like, man, if I can get Dillon Gabriel in round three, I understand he's 5'11", 6 foot. I just think he's good. Three different offenses and 6 years of college starts. Okay. That is a lot of football. Snaps matter. The one thing I like about a lot of this draft class is almost all of these quarterbacks are playing a lot of snaps. And let's just say this quarterback draft class is good. I do not believe Arch Manning is going to come out after this next season. Snaps matter. They really, really, really do. And I really do think Dillon Gabriel, who has started 6 years of collegiate football, who has some mobility, really good accuracy, you know, does he generate the absolute craziest amount of torque on the ball? No, but this draft class is not known for its arm strength. Cam Ward has a very good arm. Tyler Shuck of Louisville has a very, very good arm. I do think we tend to get arm strength and velocity mixed up. You know, I think velocity, you can make a case, is more important than overall arm strength. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of that either. If I were to rank these quarterbacks, you know, I do believe Cam Ward's the best. I'm not a big Shador guy. I'm obviously not a big Dart guy. Man, there have been times where I'm like, man, Dillon Gabriel should be the QB2 in this class. But this is the thing. He's too small. He is small. He's not a big guy. But I sometimes wonder, do I let my bias for, I always cheer for smaller athletes. I'm not a big guy. It was funny. There was a guy who I was FaceTiming someone who knew me, and he said, "Carter, I thought you would have been taller." So I was with Dex, and Dex FaceTimed one of his buddies, and he was like, his buddy was like, "Dang, Carter, I didn't know you were that short." Now, Dex, who I was with a few weeks ago, shooting some videos, talking, you know, some channel business and whatnot, he's 6'3", 6'4". I'm not that tall. But I think the size still matter at the quarterback position. We'll see with Bryce Young this year. Let's see here. Let's go to Cole. Who's the last good quarterback Kiffin has had? Well, it's been Dart so much, but let's see. Who are Kiffin's QBs at Alabama? I'm trying to make sure I get this timeline right. So Sark was Mac Jones, and then Kiffin was Jalen. Yeah, Jalen Hurts. So there you go. That'll do it for me. Now, if you want to support me, go sign up for Fast Draft Fantasy. Promo code Carter. Sign up. You get a $50 deposit match bonus. It helps me out in a major way. So check it out, Fast Draft Fantasy, the app. Download it. Let's go. Big shout out to Zion Imaging and the 360 Spin Booth Experience. Book them today. One final thing. We will be live Tuesday night. Okay. We might not be live from here Tuesday night, but we will be live at some point on Tuesday night. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. If you want more of me, check out Power Hour SEC. We just did a video breakdown of a record-setting running back performance. And go to Power Hour NFL if you want to see our latest series on Tom Brady. And tonight, we are, thanks again to Brian and John Sibley, tonight we are doing Sloppy Joes. Let's go.